example in the group. My wife gave me that day. His name is Akub.
But do you know the, like, if someone asks you the path to eternal life, what would you tell them?
Jesus.
Knowing Jesus?
Two reasons.
There's nothing what he did for us, accepting that, loving him. One,
we were worldly. Okay. And how do we love God?
I was James, he was Colin, he was pleasing.
Yeah, we do what he commands us. So we have to not only put our faith in Jesus Christ, believe in him, what he did on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, and forgiveness of sin. We have to repent. His first ministry was to repent.
So we did it because it's a mark of the science of God and the business of religion.
Well, you wrote a book, but have you come out of the world? Are you separate from the world?
If you turn from the world,
we care about your soul because you have to come out of the world.
Okay, I'm going to go to your website and look at it. I really appreciate what you guys are doing because it's needed. People think if they run into the church, they're saved.
We care about your soul, sir. If you're here wasting idle time, James 4:4 says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You have to come out of the world. You have to serve every day of your life a living sacrifice for the Lord. Otherwise, you have no hope. So what are you doing here?
Meeting a friend.
Meeting a friend. Are you going to walk around, enjoy the festival?
Teachings, everything. We get together.
Is that really, is that honoring God's kingdom? Is that honoring God, redeeming the time?
Love God.
Loving our neighbor? Are we sharing the truth with our neighbor that if they don't repent, they won't be?
I'm a massage therapist on Thursday. Got the whole 1 hour footnotes on why she should make it.
Well, we have to repent our whole life.
I understand. Hey, look, thanks for what you're
doing. Check the website and test yourself to the Word of God. But, sir, if you're part of the world, you're an enemy of God.
You guys are doing a good job.
We are?
Yes, you are.
Why would you say that?
I like your signs. People think they can run into church and get saved. Run into church and they get confused.
Yeah. And the reason is, my brother was probably telling you, the churches, I was just telling that young man, we talked to him for 30 minutes, that was awesome. Quite a seeker he was. The churches have combined with the world to make an itchy-eared gospel. Jesus said, my sheep are not of the world. I don't understand how people can read John 17. Twice he says, my sheep are not of the world, my sheep are not of the world. And so the church says, oh, be like the world and still have salvation. Jesus says, no. So that's why we stand against the culture and the churches. You got a gospel card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Did you explain the gospel to him?
I was going through repentance at the time.
Right.
Repenting and coming out of the world. And then you'll be born again by the Spirit of God when born again. And once you're born again, the fruit that you're born again is holiness and obedience to the Word of God. You'll be set apart. You'll be separate from the world.
I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm there. You know what I'm saying? You never arrive. I understand what you're saying. That's the reason I walk back. I walk past you guys and I walk back up to get here. But I want to go to the website.
Okay, yeah, check out the website. Well, can I ask you a question? You're here today. Can I ask, why are you here today?
I need a friend.
Okay.
You actually work here.
Have you completely repented? Wait, hold on. For answer.
Yes.
The Bible says don't answer before you know the whole matter.
Yes.
Have you completely repented of all your sins? And have you come out of the world? Meaning, ready? Sports, politics, entertainment, cultural fashion, entertainment, seeking the things of the world. Has your life been so surrendered that you study the scriptures and how you live, talk, act, dress, spend your money, spend your time is totally a sacrifice offering to Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for admitting that.
Yeah.
That's where you haven't arrived. You got to get to, because if you know you haven't and you live in compromise and sin, what's going to happen? You think sin that you keep is going to be cleansed by Jesus? The Bible says if you live in unrepented sin, there's no sacrifice for sin. I want you to have all sin.
No, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you.
Yeah. So maybe that's why we met. Go to our website. We'd love to Bible study with you. We'd love to help you go deeper. You can't just say you got it and you've arrived or I'm there. You got to say, how can I serve the kingdom of God? Test myself. And we love you. That's why we're here. We ask people, do you love us enough to go to the Word, to become our brother? Because see, really, forget me, I'm an old man like you, I'll be dead soon. Here's a young brother. If you love him, your goal should be to be in communication with him and get him encouraged so that he can live the next 40, 50, 60 years and carry on the faith. You and I are going to be dead soon. We got to have these young men.
We're not going to die.
Well,
we're immortal.
Well, oh no, our flesh is going to die. I'm talking about flesh.
Our
flesh is going
to
die.
So you would want to be
our brother and build this young man up so that he can be a soldier when you and I are gone. So that's what we would encourage you to do. And thank you for your honesty. You do have to repent and come out of that, and we're here to help you do all that so that you can be a Noah in your generation. We were just talking about Noah with that young man.
Yeah.
What did Noah have to do?
Well, Noah had to be separate from thousands and hundreds of thousands of people.
Millions,
that were going to...
Yeah,
yeah, he had to be separate and patiently build the ark and patiently endure all that. Yeah, so.
You made a comment about the church and Jesus told Peter on this rock, I'll build my church.
Who made the comment?
Jesus told Peter.
So Jesus did.
Rock.
Okay.
I will build my church.
Okay.
One of my frustrations is that I've got a lot of pastors and personal friends of mine. One of my frustrations is they, almost none of them, are willing to give up the 501(c)(3).
Willing to give up what?
The 501(c)(3).
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're in bed with the government.
To be able to use the influence. When Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, the word church in the Greek is ecclesia.
Yep, we love that word.
Which means civil government.
It means what?
Civil government.
No.
Said,
no. Ecclesia? No, 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 no.
It's a civil government. You should
no.
Be look. If
civil government? You're saying Jesus started a civil government by his body?
He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Check the sea. Look it up.
I am going to look it up.
Mm-hmm. And so the church has been made quiet because they're tax exempt. If they don't...
Yeah, no, I understand about 501(c)(3). I believe it's wicked and corrupt, but I'm going right here to Matthew 16 you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the frustration is the reason the world is inside out and upside down is because the church...
Sir, I don't know where you're getting your I don't know. I love you. I don't know where you're getting your definition from. This is from a common understood concordance, ready? That is very mainstream. Ready?
Yeah.
Ecclesia. We love that word. We hate the word church because it means a religious building. Here's what ecclesia means. Ready? A calling out. Holy means to be called out. And here's what it says. A congregation, a Christian community or member, saints of heaven, assembly, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes and public place to assemble. It's the called out ones. It's not civil government. I don't know where you got that from.
It's a gathering of saints. Citizens, you
say. Saints. It's a gathering of citizens called out from their homes, some public, some place, an assembly. The context is Jesus calling them out in spiritually.
Civil assembly is being involved in your government. I'm not trying to argue with you, but...
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. It doesn't mean, in context, it doesn't mean that at all. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. No, the church should not be involved in government. No, not
so
at all.
They should let the pagans come up with all the policy for humanity?
What did Jesus say when they brought him a Roman coin and they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar?
Give to Caesar and to Caesar.
And Jesus said, then what?
Follow me.
Give to God what is God.
Yeah.
Jesus basically said, that's of the world, not my concern. The things of God are my concern.
How do you affect the world if you're not involved in the world?
Preach the gospel. Yeah. You're standing here talking to us because we're out preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Politics, Trump, Biden, independence, none of that matters.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming to wipe that all out. There's only one perfect form of government. A Alpha, Omega, perfect Lamb of God ruling in righteousness and his people ruling with him. That's the only perfect form of government. Everything else is corruption and sin and worldliness. And so... That's what we're talking about.
In Genesis chapter 6, when it said God looked at the heart of man and their heart was unevil continually.
Say that again?
In Genesis chapter 6.
Okay.
It says God looked at the heart of man and it was on evil continually. And he said, I'm sorry, I created you.
Right. And what did he do? He called Noah to build the ark and he wiped everything out. But what does that have to do with Jesus' kingdom being of this world? It's not. Do you remember when the devil took Jesus up to the Temple Mount?
You don't have to be in the world, but you have to be in the world to affect the world.
No, we don't. We preach the gospel. The gospel affects the world. I'm in the world today, but I'm not of this.
Yeah.
I don't need to be of politics to affect a Republican or Democrat. How many Republicans and Democrats do you think we witness to today?
Oh, quite a few.
Thousands.
Yeah.
We don't need to be part of it. See, that's ready. Watch out. I got an article on my website, teaching blog. Christian nationalism. That is a false man-made way that's come up. Christian nationalism teaches we got to be part of the government. You know where that came from? You ever heard of the seven mountain mandates?
No, I don't mean to be part of the government. I just mean you have to be involved in the management of humanity.
No. No.
Thank God.
No, the world is under Satan's...
In the management of humanity.
Do you know what this is right here?
What is it?
The culture? It's Satan's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the world is Satan's, the world, the culture, is Satan's kingdom. God's kingdom is right here. And if you're born again, it's in his people. This is Satan's kingdom. We don't rule in this kingdom. They're going to kill us. They're going to round us. Well, they're going to.
Yeah.
Read Revelation. We're studying through it verse by verse. They're going to kill us. round us up and kill us. We're not going to have victory in this kingdom. We're going to have victory in the spirit world when our master comes back. Then he's taken over. When Satan took Jesus up on the Temple Mount, I love to tell people this. People say, oh, no, this isn't Satan's kingdom. What did Satan say to Jesus?
I'll give you all this. Yeah, worship me.
How could he give them to him if they're not his?
They belong to him.
He owned them. He owned them. Test yourself. Christian nationalism is not of God. Yeah. You got to preach the gospel first. You got to live it. And all those things you said you haven't surrendered, you got to surrender or you're going to be like that rich man. What one thing you lack will keep you out of the kingdom of God, sir? We don't want that for you. Email us. We'll Bible study. We'll help you get on that narrow path. We'll help you cleanse your life and you'll have people to encourage you. Sound good?
I'll consider that.
Yeah.
I love you, man. Email us. Love to talk
good
to you.
Good to meet you.
All right, brother.
Yeah, yep. You got our gospel.
Hey, you guys, just dial down the judgment a little bit. Listen, there's a little saying.
Hold down the judgment?
Hold on a second.
Who did we judge?
Well, you're telling me that I can't hear Bible, but look.
I told you what?
You told me, well, unless you do this, you're going to, whatever. You know, you're saying I haven't.
Look, Jesus said, Jesus said, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything he commanded. You admitted, see, I love you. You admitted that you do have sin in your life. You want me to just walk away and leave you in that? Is that love? So the judgment is, sir, unless you repent of that, you lose your soul. Is that love? What I just judge you for, that's love. If I saw you smoking a cigarette, I'd say, sir, let's help you quit. That's killing you. That's love to tell you that. If I saw you were going to kill yourself and jump off a bridge, I'd say, don't do it. Let's talk. Jesus made a way for you. All your sin can be cleansed, sir. Everything you did wrong. That's not judgment. That's love calling you. I'm telling you what's wrong so you can get to that which is right, sir. If I don't tell you what's wrong, how are you going to get to that which is right?
I think everybody knows what's wrong. They just have a lesser consciousness of it.
We haven't what?
A lesser consciousness of it.
Yeah, but
consciousness of that.
Jesus said, Paul said, go and rebuke, 1 Timothy 5, those who are in sin, so others will see and fear. Yeah. You're claiming Christ, so I want to rebuke you so that you'll go, I need to come out of my sin to save my soul. I don't want to buy you cookies and coffee and send you on your way. And you go, yeah, I'm good to go. That's re-preacher. My job, you ever read John the Baptist? You think he was a guy that'd sit down and have a cup of coffee with you and just go, hey, man, how you doing? John was a fiery preacher of righteousness, and when the wicked Pharisees came up to him, the religious people of the day, he said, who told you to flee from the wrath of God, you snakes and you vipers? Does that sound like judgmental?
No.
Sure it
Jesus,
is.
Jesus said that.
And so did Jesus, and so did Paul. Did you know Paul told false teachers to cut their manhood off?
No.
Galatians 5:12.
Really?
Emasculate means to cut your testicles off.
Galatians 5 what?
12.
Go read that.
Go read it.
Yeah.
Read the Greek, read the Hebrew.
Yeah.
So it's not judgmental, sir, to tell the truth. Jesus came to tell the truth. He didn't come to judge the first time. He's coming this next time as a fiery lion of Judah. He's coming in judgment. And whoever does not know God and obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians says, he's going to burn up in flaming fire. I don't want that to be you. So I'm going to tell you the truth today. We're going to judge you against the word of God so you can flee all unrighteousness. That's love. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God. We keep his commands. If you know you're lacking, repent and get going.
I appreciate it.
All right? Love you, man.
Cool.
So adjust that. It's not judgment. It's love.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you contact us and email us, we're going to love you. Can I tell you something? We just met a homosexual man, young man, and we were talking to him, and I sensed he was that. And I just asked him about marriage. He goes, I got a partner. I said, a man or a woman? He goes, a man. And you know what he said to us? You know, it's shameful. He said, I didn't want to tell you I was gay. He said, I thought you'd start screaming at me as a preacher. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, preachers do that. They scream at gay people. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I was a wicked, worldly man. I'm no better than you. I was in the world doing fornication. And I did every sin you could imagine except homosexuality and hard drugs just about. I'm admitting that to you. I'm not proud of that. But other than I was never a homosexual and I never did hard drugs. Everything else you can imagine, I've done it. Every wicked, perverse thing I've done. And I told him, your sin is no different than anyone else's sin, and you can repent and be cleansed of it. And he was like, I'm like, Jesus died and shed his blood for you. And I told him, homosexuality is a sin. How did he react, brother? Did he get offended and say, don't judge me?
No.
He said, I understand. I said, it's not normal. He goes, I understand. I said, God can change your affections. I understand, he said. Ended up giving him a hug and he left. If I didn't judge that rightly and send him on his way going, oh, you're okay, you're a sodomite, you're fine, I'm not doing my job before God. I'm going to have blood. Ezekiel 33 says you'll have blood on your hands unless you tell the truth. And he appreciated it, and he respected that, okay, that's sin. And I said, yeah, that's sin. Look at these women walking around showing their breasts off. That's sin. Look at men walking around smoking, destroying their temple. That's sin. Look at people getting drunk. That's sin. Pride and vanity is an abomination to God, just like homosexuality, according to Proverbs 6:17. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sharing with you, judgment. You know, I could stand here and go, oh, you homosexuals, you're a bunch of sinners. That's judgment harsh. Or I could say to a homosexual, sir, that's sin. But so are many other things that are sin. You've got to repent of that. Come on, we love you. The same judgment, just like I did to you, but done in a loving way. Jesus, he judged the woman they were about to stone. How did he do that? What did he say to her after he got rid of all of her accusers?
Well, he said, go and sin no more.
He knew she was a sinner. And then he said, he knew she sinned. He said, go sin no more. That was a judgment. He loved her and told her to come on.
Yeah, because that was just a sin that destroyed
her. Yeah. Same thing he did with that rich young ruler. It says Jesus loved him and said, one thing you lack. The guy wouldn't sell his stuff. He loved his money more than God. It says Jesus loved him and told him what he lacked. That was a judgment.
Yeah. That's a good point.
We almost crashed today coming here. My brother saw it. He was home. This lady's making a U-turn. We got a little, I live in a van. He lives in a van. We sold everything. We support ourselves. That's what we live in. We don't have houses. I sold my farm and everything. Driving down the road, this lady in this little white car whips a U-ey right in front of me. I didn't screech the tires. Amazing. My van brakes must be awesome. Swerved, and I'm watching. I'm swerving, and she's coming into me, and I missed her by about a foot. And let me just tell you something. If I didn't use judgment, I would have T-boned her and killed her, probably, or the passenger.
Right.
I had to use judgment rightly applied. And I didn't yell and scream and flip her off. I just kind of put my hand up. I'm like, whoa. And then a guy pulled up next to me at the next intersection. He got witnessed to. He goes, man, that was close. I said, thank you for witnessing that. He goes, that was crazy. He said, I don't know how you avoided that lady. I said, praising God.
Yes.
We've driven around the world 4 times. In America, we've driven around mile-wise. I've never had one accident yet. This was as close as I ever came. No, thank you to the Father.
You know, every good thing is from the Lord.
So judgment.
If you call it, there's no such thing as I'll take the luck.
Well, you need God's blessing, not luck. But so judgment is fine as long as you do it rightly. If a false teacher walked up and he defends sin, you're going to see him get judged very quickly and harshly by me because that's my job. If he walks up and goes, preacher, I think I'm in a false religious system. Would you help me? I'm not going to judge him harshly. I'm going to say, sure, let me tell you, this is sin. You need to repent of that. Thank you, preacher. And he walks away.
Yeah.
So we dole out judgment and we dole out the word as it's needed. Much like a police officer. I love to use this example. Did you see the cops walk by?
I do love this guy.
Okay. Whenever I see cops, I always say, thank you for your service because I want them on my side. Because I've been beat up before for the gospel. I love to have a cop come and pull somebody off of me. That'd be great. But guess what? He walked by and he waved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any judgment in that?
No. Yeah.
What if he saw me and you fighting and I was on top of you with a pipe beating you? Is he going to walk by and just wait? What's he going to do?
He's going to do his job.
He's going to do his job. First, he'll pull out maybe tear gas, then maybe a billy club, and then if I reach in my pocket for a gun, he's probably going to take me out. And if he can't take me out, he's going to call 50 guys like him to come get me. You see how the judgment ratchets up depending upon the person's situation?
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
You guys are awesome.
I hope to hear from you. What's your first name?
Mike.
Are you on your own, married or
married?
Married.
Yep. Okay.
You're not involved in a church or anything?
I don't go to church.
Okay.
As you typically think of people.
But Sunday. So tomorrow's Sunday, you won't be there?
No.
Okay. What will you be doing?
Probably out at the gun range shooting or playing with one of the grandkids or picking a fish.
See, how are you going to spend your life? That last thing, I used to be that sportsman, big hunter and fisher, ice hockey coach, all this stuff. And when I became born again, I realized everything I do is going to burn up. But what this I'm doing. My sign's going to burn up, but what's behind the sign ain't going to burn up. Gospel cards are going to burn up, but what's behind them won't burn up. My words are going to go away, but the meaning of my words are not going to go away because they're God's word, God's truth. Test yourself. When you leave this earth, my father was 85 when he died, master craftsman builder, was not a godly man. I didn't come from a godly home. Everything my dad ever labored for, gone. Burned down, ripped down, rebuilt with something else. He labored and labored and labored, getting the corners right. I used to say, Dad, what's the big deal? Paul, nope, we got to get it just right. Yeah. Get it just right. They came in with bulldozers, and they knocked everything he ever did down.
Yeah, everything ever.
Don't be that man. Don't be that man.
I haven't built it.
Set your treasure.
I've been for 30 years.
Nothing sinful about it, but set your treasure for the kingdom of heaven and seek it more than anything. Matthew 6:33. Email us. You need discipleship. You need friendship. You need friendship. You need godly brothers to sharpen yourself against.
Yeah.
And to be encouraged every day.
I was just thanking God because I probably drove over here just to hear that.
I love it. Yeah. That's maybe why we're here. Amen. Awesome, man.
All right,
hope to hear from you. We love you.
Godspeed.
All right. Send us an email.